beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Other one, Steve. The opposite of Batman.
Oh, yes! You're nothing but a boy in a play suit crying for mommy and daddy.
People try to do Joker imitations, and there was someone on the Behind the Voice Actors website that tried to do a Joker imitation. And
oh my
Steve,
god, he was batshit horrible.
Steve had to rip them a new one because it was so horrible.
I'm not claiming to be the best, but this guy was just ass.
And the only Joker that Steve really does is the Hamill version. He doesn't do the Heath or the Nicholson version.
Look at me.
I do.
Look at me.
Yes, I do the true Joker.
Oh, wait, that's right. We have both Kermit the Frog here tonight, because Neil does a Kermit and Steve does a Kermit. That's awesome.
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here.
Wow, that's really good.
Kermit the Frog here. Yoo-hoo, Piggy.
It's like Whitmire versus Henson.
It's time to start the Muppet Show. Yay!
That's definitely Whitmire. You don't have the same gentleness as Henson.
I mean, you know, honestly, in any role, who can top the creators? I mean,
yeah. That's like saying somebody's going to top Hamill as the Joker. Yeah. It's just not going to happen.
I know people who still swear on the Caesar.
Well, I mean, that's live action. That's completely different. I could go back and forth with live action, but the fact remains that there's only one that's still with us on the live action, and there have been many on the
anime. Oh, Neil, we forgot to mention the Sega CD Batman video game, Adventures of Batman and Robin video game, because it has some segments of animation that was never in any episodes.
Oh, well.
Wait, where were we supposed to mention this?
Oh, he's talking about the video game episode we just...
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say, what the hell?
As you know, Batman, you know, that he had an axe. Neil, you have the show image, right?
Yes, I have the show image.
Knock it off.
I want to make sure he has the show image at all.
It's like I deleted it in the meantime.
All right, let's get this show on the road. You can go whenever you're ready, Ben.
All right. Oh, God. This hurts still. Okay.
This can't hurt as much as Doomsday. But go ahead and start.
Okay. Hello and welcome again to Animation Aficionados, crossing over once more with Tooncast Beyond. We are continuing our series going through the DC Animated Original Movies. I am, of course, your host, Ben, and we're joined by my co-host, TV's Mr. Neil.
I have summoned you here for a purpose.
And we also have with us the host of Tooncast Beyond, TFG1 Mike.
Hello. And the co-creator of the Geekcast Radio Network, Steve Megatron.
Yes.
And tonight we're talking about Superman, Batman, Public Enemies.
Oh, come on. Be excited.
Oh, this movie rocks.
Well, let me start. Let me start from the beginning. This is an adaptation of a graphic novel by Jeff Loeb, drawn by Ed McGuinness. And to put in perspective, I will give you an overview of what the graphic novel is. And I will just say that everything that's different from the graphic novel to the movie is Bruce Timm trying to make the graphic novel make sense. That's all the adaptation is Bruce Timm saying, okay, this doesn't make sense. I have to write like in the margins. So this is why this happened.
So basically what you're saying is, as much as we love Bruce Timm, he loves to polish turds.
Yes, this movie is literally Bruce Timm polishing the turd that is Superman, Batman, Public Enemies. And to understand my distaste for the Superman, Batman, Public Enemies graphic novel is to understand that I think Superman, Batman as a series, as a comic series, is dumbing down of icons, because the original title that trade paperbacks and graphic novels were given when Superman and Batman teamed up in the 90s and the 80s and the 70s was World's Finest.
Yep.
And then afterwards it became a descriptive title. Oh, it's just Superman, Batman. It's so dumbed down, stupid. And the storyline in Public Enemies is the following in the graphic novel.
Right.
There's a kryptonite asteroid heading towards Earth. Lex Luthor announces Superman's responsible somehow. And everyone believes him because he's the president.
At what point do they send Bruce Willis up to take care of this?
Oh, bad Armageddon joke.
They did, but it wasn't 10 times cooler than Armageddon, I swear. I just need a space rock. Okay. Okay, so what happens is Superman's now on the lam, and only Batman believes him. So they're teamed up together trying to figure out what Lex Luthor is doing. And this culminates to a fight in Antarctica in issue 4 that I actually shared with Neil, because I wanted to make sure that I had a witness to verify what happens in this issue 4 of Superman, Batman, Public Enemies. Superman and Batman are, Lex Luthor sends Hawkman and Captain Marvel to take in Superman and Batman. And in the fight, Superman says, castling, like the chess move, and throws Captain Marvel at Batman. And Batman drop kicks Captain Marvel into a mountain hard enough to make him fucking revert into Billy fucking Batson.
Now,
yeah.
The animated movie
doesn't have that. No, Bruce Timm scribbled that out and wrote Batman uses a missile.
The animated movie makes the graphic novel just insignificant. The animated movie for me is way better, simply because of the fact that you have Tim Daly, Kevin Conroy,
Clancy Brown.
You have. Essentially, because essentially, those three voice actors are the big three of DC animation when it comes to their respective characters. And that's really what sells the movie for me, is them voice. Even the fact that I don't like the animation on Batman's model in this movie, Kevin Conroy still sells it. This, to me, is a lot better for his voice to fit to the animation than Gotham Knight ever was.
Hence why I didn't want to be on Gotham Knight. Because Gotham Knight, I watched it and I immediately, because I rented it, I never bothered to pick it up. Despite it having Conroy and my liking him playing Batman, that movie was utter garbage. But I can see where Tim Daly, Kevin Conroy, Clancy Brown fit their respective roles in this, because they actually look like their Justice League and original series counterparts. Mm-hmm. Amanda Waller is also played by the same actress from Justice League.
Yeah. The only, and I'm going to get this out of the way right now.
Okay.
I'm a fat guy. I don't care if people are fat, skinny, or whatever else. I'm sorry. The animation style for this movie versus the comic book art versus what Amanda Waller looked like in Justice League Unlimited, that scene literally nearly made me puke.
Yeah, the problem I have with this animation style is they're trying to Bruce Timmify Ed McGuinness's shitty artwork. And okay, I'm going to get a lot of emails. I don't care. Ed McGuinness is a shitty artist. Wow. He draws everything like he's doing a parody of Akira Toriyama doing Super Saiyan 2.
It's calling you out, Ed.
Ed knows I don't like his work. But let me finish the brief synopsis of the comic just really quickly because I'm almost done with it.
We're here to talk about the movie.
To talk about the movie, we have to talk about the source material and how the source material differs.
All right. And
basically, what happens is Superman and Batman, you know, disguise themselves as Hawkman and Captain Marvel to show up at the White House to sort of give Lex Luthor a scare. Lex Luthor kisses Amanda Waller and injects himself with liquid kryptonite, which only years ago almost killed him, and to put on the Silver Age green power armor suit to fight Superman once more. And then they go to the Fortress of Solitude, where they team up with Toyman, where they pay Toyman to build a composite Superman robot, which is half Superman, half Batman, to destroy the asteroid. And Superman pays him with, well, what Toyman in one of the comics was a date with Power Girl. And Superman's like, no, I can't do that. How about I give you an exact robot duplicate instead?
Wow.
And then Toyman just goes, I'm going to wreck this thing.
and then Captain Atom flies the robotic monstrosity towards the asteroid, and all through the flight there, he's not thinking, gee, I can't be as good as Superman, Batman. I can't be as heroic as Superman, Batman. I'll never be as great as them. Look at them. They're great. They're best of friends. I will never be that. All while he's flying to his doom. And then it gets destroyed, and everybody has a hearty laugh at the end, and that's how the graphic novel is. And I have to hand it to Bruce Timm. He did what I said. He made changes from the source material to make the story make fucking sense. He added the part in the beginning where Lex Luthor asks Superman to go on the mission into space, and he has, you know, Metallo disguised as an astronaut and, like, shows, like, hastily cut footage to make it look like Superman went crazy. You know, he had that, so all of a sudden it's a little bit more credible that all the heroes think Superman's turned bad now versus just Lex Luthor said so, which was in the graphic novel.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, and like I said, instead of Batman drop-kicking Captain Marvel into a mountain, no, he uses a missile. So that's, again, a little bit more credible.
Now, when did this comic come out? Because I could swear that I... Speaking of that giant robot, I could swear that I've seen this episode of Dexter's Laboratory.
I'm checking. It was the early 2000s. It was 2003.
So it wasn't Dexter's Lab referencing that. It was more like the other way around.
Yeah,
it's like I said, whenever Jeff Loeb writes Superman, he writes Superman as super duper creepy because he builds sex dolls and gives them to teenagers.
Okay.
That's just not right.
Yeah, but anyway.
And like I said, I'm giving Bruce Timm credit. I'm giving Bruce Timm credit that somebody up ahead probably told him, okay, we have to adapt Superman, Batman, Public Enemies into a movie. But the thing that strikes me so much is every single change in the adaptation is him trying to make the story make sense.
And yet, Batman still gets thrown around and crushed and knocked into walls and doesn't ever sustain any sort of injury.
Well, you know, the thing about this movie is, and the thing about any of these movies really, but this one specifically, and I think Bruce Timm said this, I don't remember, I think I remember hearing him say this about adapting it, is that, as Ben said, you have to have it make sense for the main, like, okay, Superman, Batman, World's Finest, all that stuff, those comic book readers are going to be, you know, people who are invested like Ben, you know, in comic books. Those are the people that are going to read those books. But for a mainstream audience, you have to make the adaptation make sense.
To be fair, the original graphic novel didn't make sense, even to a comic reader. Jeff Loeb is that shitty a writer.
Right. But that is still overlooked versus, like, okay, if it doesn't make sense to comic book readers, that's kind of like, hey, here you go, here it is. Who cares if it makes sense? We don't care about our readers whatsoever. We reboot in 52 and blah, 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 all the friggin' time. But whereas, you know, these animated films, these direct-to-DVD animated films, have to make sense, sort of.
And, I'm still sorry. That's still just the funniest thing to me, because I've never seen an adaptation happen before where the person who's adapting it is explicitly making the adaptation changes just to make the story make sense. I've never seen that before.
Well, Bruce Timm cares. Neil, what about you for thoughts on this one?
Well, as I was getting into, this comes off as kind of like a Batman way, because there are plenty of times in this movie that Batman, you know, he should have just been dead. I mean, he was fighting. I always get the two mixed up. It was Metallo.
Yeah,
he's fighting Metallo, and Metallo should have just killed him. Yeah. And somehow he survived. He used Superman as a shield to block a thermite grenade, I think, or whatever the hell that was. And I'm just like, what the hell? This guy should be dead. He's just a normal guy.
They don't try to write an incredible. Well, the thing is this. Like I said, there's enough of the Jeff Loeb DNA in the story that it still doesn't quite make it there. But like I said, Bruce Timm probably. What this feels like is Bruce Timm should have been the editor-in-chief of DC Comics, because that's what he's doing here. He's the editor.
Although I got to call Bruce Timm out on one part, is because Bruce Timm put Batman in the pilot seat at the end of the movie, and that should have killed Batman too.
Well, you know what? At least they had the ejection pod versus Captain Marvel thing. Gee, I could never be as great as Batman or Superman.
I honestly think putting Batman in the pilot seat
of the monstrosity
was a reference to the end of Justice League Season 2 when he was piloting the Watchtower.
Oh, yeah.
But like I said, it's at least they like made an ejection pod, you know,
right,
which makes more sense than, oh, by the way, this is a one-way ticket. And Captain Marvel, Captain Adam, you go, you're not as popular as the title characters. Oh, gee, you're right. And I'll just keep on thinking about how come that's true.
And my only other point here is that I got to bring up Power Girl, because
I'm sucked.
Yeah, thing is, I know Power Girl's hair is supposed to be really short, but usually it has a little bit more volume than that. I mean, it's just kind of this weird, I don't know what you would call that. And
hairstyling with the animation aficionados.
No, yeah. It's not just that. It's her whole body design just didn't have the power and the oomph in it. It was like a caricature of the oomph without the power. I mean, it's...
Honestly, who really pays attention to Power Girl other than her boobs?
That's what I mean.
What we need is the Amanda Connor version stat.
Well, what we need is the Call Me Poe version stat.
What about you, Steve? What are your thoughts on Public Enemies?
Well, honestly, I'd have to say, other than Under the Red Hood, I'd have to say this is my favorite next to that. Just because you have the return of those specific voice actors, you have some of the Timverse type of animation to this, but not 100% that direction. It's more of a gritty version.
Yeah, and you have tons of references as well.
Oh, yeah, and you have, like, damn near, you know, every hero or villain showing up, with the exceptions of, you know, some of the main Justice League members. Yeah. Or, you know, the Joker and some of those other ones. But you do have a lot of them showing up in here. And, it, you know, despite what you guys know about the comics of it, I'd say that they did it really well with this animated version.
You know, I do have to praise it for one thing. There was a Supergirl character in the comics that wasn't any of the Supergirls you all know. I know that for sure because she was only around for like 6 months. Sor-El. And Sor-El, by the way, was like Lois Lane and Superman's daughter from the future, travel back in time. And
oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. And they basically gave a lot of Power Girl a lot of her lines.
Thank you, Bruce Timm.
Oh, wow.
I mean, Power Girl was pretty much pointless other than to help move some of the dialogue along.
Yeah, and by the way, this is Sor-El, and yeah, like I said, I'm just glad that she didn't show up, because that would have required more explaining. And yeah, her design was terrible.
Yeah. Oh.
So Power Girl, aka Chloe Sullivan. Wow, I forgot all about that Allison Mack voiced Power Girl.
Well, if they would have given Power Girl that kind of hair, it might have looked better.
Exactly. I'm kind of transitioning over to the voice actors because there's a couple in here. There's one particular in here that I didn't even it didn't even register with me. We've had many Alfreds in animation over the years. Of course, Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. is the main one that we know. But,
Skeletor is Alfred.
Wow, Alan Oppenheimer voiced Alfred in this. I did not know that.
You know, he also voiced the butler in Big O.
I have no idea.
Not surprising.
Okay, the Big O is...
Man?
It's an anime.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't do anime, so...
Well, it's actually really funny because Big O is pretty much
an American product.
Big O is pretty much like the Japanese trying to do Batman, but with a mecha, and the main character has a butler who,
and it's kind of like Voltron. Alfred. It's kind of like Voltron, where the only people who really care about it are Americans.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was canceled in Japan, and Adult Swim paid for the second season.
Adult Swim will pay for anything,
except for your DVDs.
Well, Adult Swim will pay for anything, seeing as how they show a bunch of Family Guy reruns. Anyway, the other one that kind of really threw me, and I had to actually click on the link and look it up because they list Michael Goff as Hawkman and Captain Cold, but it is not the Michael Goff that played Alfred in Batman 89 and Returns and all that stuff. It's a different person. But every time I just see that name, it always makes me think of the live-action Alfred from the Batman movies.
Oh, that's another thing. I'm trying to remember if this movie actually gave Hawkman the goddamn Eye of Horus glove. Did it?
I don't remember.
Okay, in the comics, when Batman and Superman decided to switch opponents and Batman gave the kick that shouldn't have ever happened, Hawkman gave the punch that never should have happened, where Hawkman punched out Superman with a magic glove called the Eye of Horus.
Wow. That's... Wow.
Yeah.
I love this bit of trivia. At one point, Batman tells Superman, "It's your funeral," to which Superman replies, "He already had one." Obviously, he's referring to the aftermath of his first battle with Doomsday. However, when I first heard that line, the first thing I thought of was...
Hereafter?
Yep. They've made so many references in this movie to Justice League, Justice League Unlimited, to the DCAU. That's the only thing that I can always think of when it comes to those little quips, is that's the first thing I go to. And of course, the box office for this... around 8 million, and it was 535,656 units sold. So this, I almost wish this would have made more money than Doomsday.
Why? Then you'll just encourage Jeff Loeb to write more shitty comics.
But then Bruce Timm can always polish them.
Yeah.
This wasn't a perfect polish. Let's be honest with each other here. Like, this wasn't the perfect polish. There was enough of the Loeb DNA here to taint the product.
You know, I'm not as invested. Well, actually, I'm not invested in the comics at all. So my perspective on this movie is not exactly what Ben's is. I'm not saying that I really love this movie, but if I take it as a campy approach, I can appreciate it. And then all my comments about how Batman should have died will just kind of go away.
Right.
I mean, Toyman was okay.
He kept on mentioning Power Girl's boobs, well, badly drawn boobs at those. I'm sorry that her design was not goodness.
It could have been better, but
Steve, any other thoughts?
Well, I wouldn't say that it's 100% perfect, but it's quite possibly one of the best out of all the animated ones, next to, like, you know, the Under the Red Hood and the Justice League Crisis of Two Earths.
But
I think that being that you're from a comics perspective, that it's not as good to you, whereas to me, having little to no experience with modern Batman comics, except for what I collected growing up and what little I've read now, I don't particularly pay too much attention to the comics or the writers or anything associated with it, whether it be good or bad. So that's why, in my opinion, this movie is better than what you would probably rate it.
So speaking of the rating, for the IGN replacement crew, Steve, we actually added a zero. And Neil, what is the zero?
The zero is find someone who owns this and punch them in the mouth.
That's hilarious. So that would be Gotham Knight for me.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we rated Gotham Knight.
That's what we rated it on. Steve, 0 to 4, what do you give this?
I give it a 4.
Neil?
You know, what was 3 again?
3 is Netflix, but it's not actually on Netflix Instant. You can get it through DVD on Netflix, but it's not on the actual Instant streaming anymore, which sucks.
You know what, I'll give it a 2. I mean, I can't quite recommend spending money on it, but, you know, it's worth seeing.
$10? You can't throw away $10?
Well,
in this economy, who can?
I've seen worse shit go for $10.
True.
Yeah. Ben, what about you?
I'll give it a 2 because I think it's worth seeing, just because, like I said, if you've read the graphic novel, I have to commend Bruce Timm for going out of his way to actually not do the graphic novel straight up and actually try to fix it. I have to give him credit for that, because he could have gone straight up and just did a direct adaptation, but no, he cared enough to try to make the story make logical sense, so I had to give him credit to say, yes, you have to watch it. I would never spend money on it.
And as far as the home media, it was released on standard DVD and single and double disc editions, along with high-definition Blu-ray release on September 29th, 2009. Special features for the double disc edition include an inside look of Wonder Woman, Batman Gotham Knight, Justice League The New Frontier, and Green Lantern First Flight, DC Comics 2009 crossover event Blackest Night, two production featurettes, a sneak peek of Justice League Crisis on Two Earths, trailers for Green Lantern, First Flight, Fringe, for some strange reason. I don't know why there's a Fringe trailer on a superhero DVD, and Batman Arkham Asylum, digital copy download. Two episodes of Superman the Animated Series picked by Bruce Timm. The Blu-ray edition has all the features of the double disc standard definition release, including three additional Justice League episodes selected by Timm. So with that, I think we're going to take a break here on Tooncast Beyond. You're going to hear some ads, hopefully none with really, really horrible, horrible music, stuff that we've already vetoed for ads.
Tooncast will be back after these messages.
The Webcast Beacon Network has been covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007, starting with the Webcomic Beacon, a topical webcomics podcast with a jovial bunch of misfits like your local morning radio show. Also, the Webcomic Beacon Newscast, recaps, reviews, and discussions of community and industry news relative to comic creators, especially of digital distribution. Also, the Tropecast, the ever-tangential discussion of literary and visual memes. And finally, Web Fiction World. Before webcomics, there was independent and self-published web-release written fiction and literature. Find this all at webcastbeacon.com. Be sure to grab a master RSS feed or master iTunes feed and not miss a thing.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
Welcome to my throne room, fugitives. The Beast Unleashed podcast is over, not gone. You can hear more of this great podcast discussing all the episodes of Beast Wars and Beast Machines on GeekCastRadio.com. We include voice actor and writer interviews with stellar hosting by Steve, Mike, and Michael. Head on over to iTunes or the net, or else I will send you my Viacons to extract your spark and destroy you. Yes.
Tooncast is dedicated to the cartoons we grew up with. 100 episodes and more make up one of the GCRN's most popular podcasts. Join hosts TFGO and Mike, Optimus Solo, Terror the Rising Star, and tons of guest hosts. We also have voice actor and writer interviews. Tune in to Tooncast as we look back on the cartoons that defined us as geeks. You can find Tooncast on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Tune in.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Greg.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the internet's number one G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind? That's right. It's Joe news, reviews, and special guests like you've never heard them before delivered right to your MP3 player.
Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right. Hey.
We're just kidding, Chuck. Kinda.
Yeah, sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, hey!
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the GeekCast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
Can I say something about Transformers?
No!
You can now hear the GeekCast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear GeekCast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter GeekCast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you and your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code GeekCast Radio when you register.
Hey, yo, go go for Coco Pops while listening to Tooncast!
Sword of Omens, give me sight beyond sight. I see a new episode of Tooncast coming this week.
Now back to Tooncast!
So, Neil, final thoughts on Public Enemies?
Not a complete train wreck. Actually, it's okay. Like I said, I'm not invested in the comics, so I can take it for what it is without being tainted by the source material.
Yes. I'm just now, because I didn't comment on it earlier, I really love Toyman's line of, yeah, I made the robot back when I was big into superhero worship.
I thought he made it back when he was big in Dexter's lab.
God.
He did get on my little laboratory.
Yeah. Overall, I really like this movie. This is one of my favorites out of the ones that we've done, out of the ones we've reviewed so far. This is high and above both Doomsday and Gotham Knight. What about you, Steve?
Well, yeah, this is a hell of a lot higher than Doomsday or Gotham Knight. I mean, those are just the bottom of the barrel. That I wouldn't even like show those to anybody I know. I'd have to agree. I'd have to punch him in the face and burn it. But I would say that this one, Public Enemies, is I'll give it that it's not the greatest, and it's got horrible source material.
Which I just showed them.
Yes. as I've seen. But Bruce Timm did do a very good job making it into something that is at least enjoyable and watchable for the general public that haven't been scarred permanently by the source material.
And Ben?
I give it 2 bat drop kicks into a mountain.
Thank you for joining us here on Tooncast Beyond and the Animation Aficionados crossover. There are several ways to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show. Visit the website. What?
Call the voicemail.
Shut up. We're not even down there yet, damn it. Visit the websites, geekcastradio.com and animationaficionados.com. You can comment on each of our episode posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes, please do this. Follow us on Twitter. Show name there is Tooncast Beyond, A Aficionados for them, minus TFG on Mike. Steve, what is your Twitter?
SCP21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork and Animation Aficionados. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. Shut up, Steve.
Join it.
Shut up, Steve. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast Beyond Animation Aficionados. Wish you'll join us next time when we will be continuing the DC Universe Animated Movie Spotlight with Justice League Crisis on Two Earths. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with...
Steve Megatron Phillips.
TV's Mr. Neil.
And Ben the host.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Goodbye.
Good night.
You guys forgot your lines. What the hell?
On a parallel Earth.
My world is similar to yours in many ways, but very different in others.
Luthor's new Justice League is not to be underestimated.
Supervillains rule the planet.
We were systematically destroyed by a group of superpowered beings known as the Crime Syndicate.
They have the same superpowers as the Justice League, but with an evil twist.
Take them down.
They're willing to kill. Get ready for an all-new animated original movie from DC Universe. Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, and the rest of the Justice League.
It's okay. We'll take it from here.
In a battle against their criminal counterparts.
I'm the baddest of the bad. Anybody who ever stood in my way is dead.
Two Earths, two leagues, one epic battle. Justice League, Crisis on Two Earths.
Nice place.
Mr. President, I think I'm gonna like it here.